leg. How are you?
I know, right?
Hey, baby. Want to see my leg?
Okay. No. And ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
It was the leg.
It was not. Don't even, Salsa.
Yeah, Salsa's not talking about the internet leg. He's definitely talking about his personal leg.
I was distracted by another thing that I was doing.
Were you distracted by my sweet, sweet, shapely leg?
No.
You know, I've never seen Salsa throw up before. But,
Hey!
I think you have lovely legs.
Thank
but
you.
Also this is it's Salsa.
Yes, that's fair.
We should drink something. I'm drinking tonight I'm drinking a Edmund Fitzgerald Porter from Great Lakes Brewing.
Ooh.
Always a winner in my book. Always.
Mm-hmm. Except for that one time that the Edmund Fitzgerald was not.
Even then it was It won the sinking competition.
Okay. And it got a great song.
Yeah,
so, you know.
Just, you're really looking at this in a negative light, James. And it sounds like the problem is you.
Yeah,
James,
you're right. This is,
you've
got to
look at Edmund Fitzgerald is half full.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, apparently morbid humor is on the menu for tonight.
Yeah. Oh yeah, just tonight though.
Are you trying to tell me it too soon? Are you trying it too soon, that shit?
I didn't say that at all.
Okay. I'm really pleased with myself on that.
No, that was fantastic.
I'm not gonna
lie.
Thank you.
That was a really
good one. I am drinking.
Good.
Yes, this is good, actually. So my drink actually has a story, a little bit of a story behind it. Not an exciting one, but still a story, so I'm going to tell it. There is a bottled tea that I fell in love with down south. Joe and I are traveling on our way from the Twin Cities down to Kansas City, and then from Kansas City back up, and we would stop at, you know, gas stations along the way, because sometimes you gotta pee. And on the way down our last time, I picked up a couple of teas to have along the road, like, you know, station teas that I got in Iowa. And I saw that they had Gold Peak.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they had, like, sweetened and unsweetened and honey and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I've never tried Gold Peak. Raspberry, huh. I like raspberry. So I got a thing of the raspberry Gold Peak tea and fell fucking in love with it. It makes me happy in very specific areas of my body. And yeah, so I just got a bunch of that to drink on the way down to Kansas City, and it was great. And then I got some more along the way back up to the cities, and I was like, I'm going to have to find this in the cities so that I can have more. And I couldn't.
Oh.
I have been looking for this tea in the cities, in convenience stores, ever since last Christmas.
Jeez. Last Christmas, I tried a new tea.
Yeah.
The actually. Next day, I couldn't find it in the fucking cities.
That almost even rhymed. Well done, gentlemen. So, 3 weeks ago, I'm grocery shopping with my little brother. And I kept checking out, like, teas in the soda aisle and, like, various other, you know, places, like at Cub. But then I'd also check at convenience stores and, like, all these places. Couldn't find them anywhere. So I went to get, I think it was like orange juice or something. Or I was looking for something that happened to be in that aisle. Like the orange juice cooler aisle.
Sure.
Like, you'll also get, like, some other things in it, blah, 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 whatever. But I was looking, and I was like, oh, that looks like Gold Leaf brand. Well, I'm going to take a look just in case.
Mm-hmm.
It was not raspberry iced tea. It was California raspberry iced tea.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, so is this going to be the same thing I remember? Did they just rebrand or did they fuck with it? Because I will be angry and livid if they just fucked with
mm-hmm.
it. They did not. It was just a rebranding. And I got it. I can only get it in the, like, the jug-like containers.
Mm-hmm.
But California raspberry iced tea is my favorite drink ever now.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to make it even better and mixed it with booze.
There we go.
So I'm having a Gold Peak California raspberry iced tea with some Fireball.
Mm. Oh, wow.
And it is delightful.
What are you calling it? What are you calling it?
Not yet.
Yeah. Nothing good comes to mind.
What about a Pike's Peak?
A Pike's Peak?
Yeah. I mean,
maybe.
It's
or Dante's Peak. After the movie with the volcano and the Pierce Brosnan.
I mean, there is that Fireball spiciness to it.
Mm-hmm.
But Pike,
I don't know.
Pike's Peak or bust, you know.
Call it the Remington Steele, because that also had Pierce Brosnan in it.
No, I don't know why you're on a Pierce Brosnan kick, but we don't need to name it after anything that... No.
Or Goldeneye.
No, it's also, we'll figure out the name later.
Did you know that Pierce Brosnan's a fire ear?
I did not know that.
Oh.
True story.
Well, now it almost makes sense to name it after Pierce Brosnan again.
Huh. No, Pierce Brosnan was a sideshow fire eater for a while.
That's cool.
Well, that explains the facial hair.
As a matter of fact, there was one episode of Remington Steele where he has to go undercover in a carnival, and he actually eats fire.
Did he bump into George Lazenby, who was dressed as a clown for
yes, this. They bumped into each other 2 decades apart, James.
Okay. Are you calling one of them fat? Is that what happened?
I mean, have you seen George Lazenby?
Mm. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not George Active B.
You know what, listeners, if you have ideas for what to name my delightful busy concoction, please have at.
Do it. It's a good idea.
James?
I purchased drink making stuff and then also received a gift of booze. So I am drinking both of them. I'm about to be double fisting this episode. So this should be fun. So the booze that I received is sake, and it's Bushido Way of the Warrior sake, and it has been heated. The tasting notes are tart raspberry, Asian pear, and watermelon rind with a hint of white flowers and a spicy finish. So we're going to give that a shot, and then I also bought several things that... Do what?
What kind of sake was that?
Bushido. What? Bushido. Oh, damn it. Now I'm having difficulty saying it because I took a good whiff of it. It's Bushido Way of the Warrior.
That sounds like a video game.
It is.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like... Okay, well...
Bushido Blade was a video game.
Yeah.
Yeah. It smells really sweet. Hmm. It tastes amazing warm.
Oh.
Wow, those tasting notes are very accurate. Mmm. That's delicious. Hmm. And then for my for science drink.
Okay, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Bushido's a premium Ginjo Genshu sake.
That's
what
right.
I was looking for.
Okay, because on the can it just says
what kind of sake, not just what was the brand.
Yeah, it just says premium Japanese sake on the can.
Yeah.
So, and does not give me.
It's like the IPA of sake. All right.
Oh, nope, buried down here by the 18% alcohol by volume. It does say Ginjo Genshu Sake.
Yep.
Yeah,
okay.
All right, good. Which gets more and more difficult to say as I get lower and lower in that glass.
Yay!
And
it just sounds more and more then, like a video game to me.
Fair enough. They come from the same place. I was in IKEA, and they're gearing up for the winter months, and one of the things they do during the winter months is to sell food and beverages that are winter-themed, one of which is a bottled malt and barley beverage called Winter Saga. And it tastes kind of like cheer wine for people who've had that.
Okay.
And I decided that what that really needed was spiced whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to take a pull off of that, and then the rest of the episode, I'm just going to get crunk.
Cool.
Okay. How is it?
Oh, my God, that's good.
Yay!
Whoa. All right. Well, I'm going to go buy them out of all of their Winter Saga.
Okay, then.
I will see you folks later.
Or not, as the case may be, because you're going to be blackout drunk. It sounds
like we're going to get about 15 minutes of James, and then just nope.
Because James, as we know, is a bit of a lightweight.
That is true.
It is.
No way.
It is my.
Yeah.
How
what are you drinking?
Feeling about the weather?
I love it.
That's right. You've got porter. Oh yeah, the snow.
Happy.
Yes.
Super happy. Like I'm gonna
very happy for you, Salsa.
It like I'm about to switch the position of the lawnmower and the snowblower in my garage because I've got one of them stored up, you know, by in the back near the wall, and one of them stored right next to the door, the one you know that I use more often, and I'm about to swap those around, and I couldn't be happier about it because yay.
I'm very, very happy for you.
Mm-hmm. All of the lumber, the lumber that has been drying next to my garage, I brought in and put inside the garage.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
We cleared up the backyard, all of the furniture and stuff. Either went, you know, into the basement or got piled up on our patio area and covered in a tarp. Which apparently everybody else had the same idea because going to Home Depot and trying to find a tarp. Like, they didn't have... Their stock of tarps was really depleted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was either a 5x5 or a 16x20. There was nothing in between. But, we got everything all tarped up and, you know, winterized in our backyard. I've got the rain barrels are emptied out and flipped over. All that stuff.
Nice.
No. Yeah, I'm going to be helping Joe tomorrow bleed his radiator.
Because the radiator owes him money?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's been squealing.
Yes. I don't think it has been. I think it's just something Joe does every year at the beginning of winter.
Yeah.
Because that's the type of person Joe is.
Yep.
It's
what you're supposed to do, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I've never actually bled a radiator.
Mm-hmm.
Neither have I.
Getting the leeches is the hard part.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've lived in two places now that had radiator heat, and neither of them I had to do anything with because we had the landlord.
I lived in several as a child, but as a child, it wasn't my job to bleed the radiators.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I knew that it was a thing that needed to be done sometimes, but I knew nothing beyond that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Joe said I was going to help with some I don't know, turning on the boiler real slow, but then turning it off again. He was going to tell me when to do so. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't understand it.
It's fun. It's not bad.
You will have to report back when you find out, because I also do not know how
I've had to do it.
Done.
Well, I might not help lay the radiators. Joe's going to check them first to see if they need bleeding. Mm-hmm. But then I will assist. So I'll report back. If I bleed the radiators, I will let you all know.
Please do.
What that process was like for me.
Mm-hmm.
As a middle-aged adult bleeding radiators for the first time. So the weather for me is very, very different than what it is like for Salsa.
Same weather, different emotions.
Same weather, different ways of going about it. Well, I mean, because I honestly and very sincerely believe that weather, this different temperatures affect different people differently.
Sure. Definitely.
Right?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, sure.
There are some people like myself that, like, it's 80 degrees out and I'm still not even sweating because that just doesn't affect my body that way.
Mm.
I started wearing sweaters this season at 70 degrees because I like wearing sweaters and I could.
Well, yeah, that's fair.
But a lot of other people can't do that because of where their bodies are at.
Mm-hmm.
So Salsa is returning to his preferred weather state because that's what works best for his body, and also he hates people, so if there's snow, nobody comes by. I assume that's a part of it. Whereas I am going into like the freeze state that I get to, and it actually already happened to me on Saturday, where my bones were all so incredibly chilled that like I was near non-functioning. Until I took a hot shower. But like it took, because I'm returning into this weather zone, I didn't remember that that was a thing that I could do to raise my body temperature. So I'm just sitting there like huddled in blankets and like Joe and I made chili over the weekend. Joe made chili. I made cornbread. But we had chili and cornbread over the weekend.
Nice.
And like I was freezing. Like I'm bone chilled, freezing under the covers. And Joe was like, how about some chili? Like, how about some leftover chili? And then, you know, that'll help bring your temperature up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I ate chili. And Joe's like, how are you? And I'm like, I'm simultaneously frozen to the bone and having chili sweats at the same time. And this is very confusing for me. Like, aww. This didn't work. Yeah.
So confused.
Right? So I think my biggest frustration with the weather right now, though, is that it just hit us. I didn't get a lovely, like, down by 5 degrees per day over the course of a week or something like that. One day it was 70, and the next day it was 40, and flipping me off at the same time. Like, I think that having it that sharp has just made me more cranky about it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was going to be cranky about it anyway, don't get me wrong, but...
But there's something to be said for, you know, easing in versus abrupt.
Right, exactly. And I admit, once I get acclimated... over the course of a few weeks, I'll be doing better. But yeah, I was not a fan. Is it still snowing out?
It was when I checked last.
Okay.
I think it had stopped here, but I could be wrong.
I heard, well, we're not that far away from each other.
It's it probably is. I thought it had, but then I, you know, haven't looked outside in over an hour, so who knows.
Yeah, it slowed down around, I want to say, 2 or 3 in the afternoon, yeah. And then picked back up again, heavier than it had before for us here, and we're not that far away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's, I've been looking out the window all day.
It's Schrodinger's snow, so, you know.
Are you Schrodinger?
I am.
The
Oh.
The guy that plays the piano?
No, that's Rolf.
Oh, yeah.
Do
do do do do do do do do do do
Anyway.
Well, that's all we got for you tonight, folks. Have a good night.
So yeah, other than the weather, Salsa, or continue talking about the weather, I don't care. What have you been up to?
Not a heck of a lot. Last week was MEA. So for those of you who aren't from Minnesota, MEA is the Minnesota Educators Association. And they have MEA weekend, which is when all of the Minnesota educators get together and have meetings and a convention and like continuing education and various things like that. And what it means to most people is that for 3 days, Thursday, Friday, or Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, there's no school. I say this because we didn't have MEA where I grew up. That wasn't like a thing. So just in case you're from out of state, that's what it is. But anyway, last week was MEA. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the kids were out of school, which means that today they had to go back to school.
Aww, poor babies. And by go back to school,
it was real rough. We didn't finish their homework. Usually they get done with homework around, you know, 2:30. It was 5:30 and both kids were still like at their computers, with me with Asher and my wife with Lilibeth, just like, please, for Christ's sake, just do the thing. And the kids are going, oh, I don't get it. Right. Just in absolute despair of any sort of understanding, and we're trying to be patient, just okay, just do the thing, please. Just think it through and calm
just
down.
Just buckle down and do it.
No, they hadn't been in a classroom setting for 6 days, and it showed.
Right.
So hopefully tomorrow will be a little smoother, but we'll find out. But because it was MEA weekend, we had a bunch of extra free time, and so my wife and I went over to my mother-in-law's house and did a bunch of work on her house. She's putting in new flooring in one room, and so we, you know,
Do you have any experience with flooring?
She's been doing a fantastic job, but when it got to like the fiddly bits around the corners and through doorways of the closet and stuff like that, where it gets weird, and you know, so she was just like, I need help with this. So I went over and I helped her with that, and then she had a huge brush pile in her backyard because we had taken down a tree and you know, trimmed a few other trees and stuff like that. There was just a massive pile of stuff, and I took the wood chipper and was at that for about 4 hours straight cleaning that up. So between running the wood chipper and then going inside the house and doing a bit of flooring, I woke up on Saturday morning just unable to move. Like my whole body was just but it was good work, you know. The floor in our house looks amazing, and the backyard is clean, so ta-da.
Hooray.
What about y'all?
Nice.
I got new glasses.
Ooh,
they look
green. I can't wear them.
Uh-oh.
I ordered a bunch of glasses from Zenni Optical.
Oh.
And I can't read anything out of them.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I just got them, like, right before the podcast and tried them on and was like, nope. So I have to look up if I somehow put in the wrong prescription strength.
Have you tried, just out of curiosity, flipping them upside down to see if they got left and right backwards?
I have the same in both eyes.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
so, doesn't matter.
Worth a shot.
I'm angry about that, but you guys want, I'll show you some swanky glasses if you want. I'm sure it'll make for a great podcast, but
So those are just your regular black frames that you're wearing right now?
Yeah, these are actually, my glasses broke a couple weeks ago, so I just picked up some shelf readers.
Oh,
because
okay.
Mm-hmm. my prescription is plus 2.75.
Oh, okay.
In both of my eyes. So it is possible for me to just pick up readers. Mm-hmm. But I wanted some anti-glare as well.
Okay.
And these lenses, everything is super sharp.
Oh.
Like everything is coming through better, and I don't have distracting glare type things or anything like that. But letters and certain aspects are still fuzzy.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's very bright and very bold. It's just a fuzzy, a bold fuzzy. It's Chewbacca. It's...
For those at home who can't see this, Jenna is modeling some glasses that look like the eye band from that Geordi LaForge wears in Star Trek. Very nice, I have to say. Bold look. But
it's called a visor. The visor is actually an acronym for visual interface something or other.
Okay.
Sensory visual interface.
The weird thing is,
somebody is screaming at this podcast right now.
Visual interface something or other still spells visor. Well, that's a lot like the pipes that they have in some of the Jefferies tubes that say GNDN.
Yep.
That means goes nowhere, does nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, like visor, that's a thing. Star Trek visor is actually an acronym for what it does. It's also just called visor. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so
the Geordi LaForge looks good on you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
It's very stylish. Yeah. Very swanky.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, the Zenni thing said that maybe I should wear them for a little bit and try to get acclimated to them. If I check my prescription and it is the correct prescription that I put down, they said it can take a day or two because you'll have different amounts of space depending on where the glasses sit on your face.
Mm.
So there might be a little bit of readjustment period. So I'm hoping that's it, because these glasses look really nice. These are the basic ones, but I got two more pair.
Okay.
And like I said, I got the anti-glare specifically because I've been having issues with glare for forever. But yeah, so I'm really hoping these work. Otherwise,
we lost her.
Oh, no, there she is.
No, she time traveled, but she's back. Okay.
That happened right as I was switching my glasses.
It did,
That's fine.
So Jenna is now modeling a monocle bold look.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I was going for the
peanut, actually.
I'm still waiting
on the top hat.
Yeah. The wood rung rope ladder up to the Zeppelin is nice. Did that come in the same package, or was that...
No, I had to get that. That was an add-on. But, because the rest of it doesn't cost that much, I figured why not.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Very, very nice.
Yeah, thank you. And let's see. I got one more pair here. So these ones. Actually, they feel crooked. But they don't have anything to uncrook it.
With pince-nez, if your nose is crooked, then they don't quite sit right. So,
not 100% symmetrical. So, that is a thing.
And it's also, I think, very bold of you to go with the pun in your eyewear, that they're pince-nez that are lobster-shaped, is really... I'm surprised a little.
Look, James, I was willing to play this game.
James went
too
far.
You had to go and break it.
You went too far, okay. James.
Too far. You took it too far.
Yeah, well, that's
I mean, the audience doesn't believe it. Not a pun. They would believe a monocle, but not a pun.
That's fair. That's
even a Zeppelin monocle, but no, you went with a pun, and that's just not believable with Jenna.
Right.
A bridge too far.
Oh my fucking god, James.
Does Facebook allow us to boot him? Is that a thing? No.
I don't know. I think it would exist on your end, Salsa.
Yeah, I don't see a boot.
So anyway, aside from the glasses, I've been watching more Stargate.
Good.
Mm-hmm. I am now on season 10 of Stargate SG-1.
Wow. Nice.
And season 2 or 3 now of Atlantis? We've been watching as soon as season 8 hit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've been following the spreadsheet of some nerd on the internet,
mm-hmm.
Who compiled the best way to watch all of the Stargate,
mm-hmm.
all of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, for a while, we were going back and forth between SG-1 and Atlantis. And then, like, there were a few of them that you did right in a row because they're all, like, three-parters.
Sure.
We just had a crossover one, which I was very sad that Teal'c stayed behind.
Aww.
And Jason Momoa wasn't on any of it.
What?
I want a Teal'c Ronan fight so bad.
Mm.
And that hasn't happened yet. But I've got my fingers crossed. I'm hoping.
I want the...
Please don't spoil that one for me if it does happen. And please don't tell me that it doesn't happen because I don't want to hear it.
Yep.
So, yeah.
They're gearing up for the buddy cop crossover between those two characters.
Mm. Mm. They did have the 200th episode. I don't know if you guys know about the 50th, the 100th, and the 200th episodes for Stargate.
No.
Uh-uh.
They go stupid ridiculous on those anniversary ones.
Cool.
And pull some real fun meta jabs. The 100th episode might be my favorite. There is an alien that doesn't remember he's an alien and has experienced the world of Stargate. And he is the creative consultant for a show called Wormhole Extreme.
Yes.
That happens to have four members of an elite team that goes through a gate onto other planets via a wormhole.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so over-the-top meta. And there's all of these lines in the show. Like, the show itself gets brought to the attention of the lead team, SG-1, for the Stargate program. And one of the characters is like, I can't believe that the Air Force would let this kind of thing happen on cable where everybody can see it. And somebody else is like, well, if you think about it, it's actually the perfect cover. It just becomes, you know, a glorified whatever
something,
in somebody's brain.
Nobody's hiding anything,
And like, but there's just all of these little side comments about like how stupid the show is. Like
very self-aware.
Very, so incredibly self-aware as they're going through this. The guy that plays the director for Wormhole Extreme is the actual director of that episode of Stargate, or a regular director. And you just see him constantly yelling at the special effects person to be like, more explosions! Bigger! I said bigger! And like all of the actors are over exemplified versions of the characters. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Nice.
Cool.
So yeah, I saw the 200th episode, which did a similar thing. They kind of brought that back. Now Wormhole Extreme is going to be a movie, and they all have these different fantasies of what they think the movie should be.
Oh God.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the Ilk is a private investigator in the 70s, and it's delightful.
That is amazing.
There's puppets at one point. It's really surreal.
Nice.
I liked the 100th episode better, but I still enjoyed the 200th episode.
That reminds me of that meta bizarreness reminds me of the episode of X-Files with Gary Shandling and is it Taya Leone?
Oh God, Gary Shandling is a name I haven't heard of in like my child's lifetime.
I meant Obi-Wan Kenobi was what I meant to say. They're filming an X-Files movie. And so Gary Shandling is asking Fox Mulder for advice on how to be Fox Mulder. And then at some point, like Gillian Anderson, Dana Scully, and David Duchovny's Fox Mulder are in the theater watching the movie, and it's so outside the box and so good.
Awesome.
Yeah, okay. same kind of deal. That's fucking stupendous.
I do enjoy when a show kind of does a... We're just gonna... This show is not canon. We're just doing something weird. Mm-hmm. like the Buffy musical episode or something like that.
I
know I just said it's not canon, and the Buffy musical obviously had like a reason for everybody singing, and they tied it all together. But still, it's just like, we're gonna do a musical episode. How are we gonna do that? I don't know. We're just gonna fucking do it though.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
magic.
Fuck.
Magic demons.
Exactly.
Something.
Yeah. Just.
Yeah.
How do we do anything else that we do in this show? Really?
Wizard did it.
The Benedict Cumberbatch Sherlock. Where mm-hmm. they were like, we're going to do one episode in Victorian London.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the rest of the show is in modern times, we're doing one episode. We're not going to explain it. We're not going to do it. We're just doing an episode. It's in that time period now. Fuck you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I love it when a show knows, number one, what it is.
Yeah.
And what it can get away with.
Mm-hmm.
And then just does that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, because, I mean, there are other shows that have tried and failed.
Yeah, that's... You've got to have the fan base who is willing to go with you on it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And
yeah.
And if you take yourself too seriously, then when you do something weird, the fan base is just going to go, no, this is not right.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you have a show that's already a bit, you know, silly, then you can do something silly, and they're just like, yeah, bring it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Mm.
Yeah.
What about you, James?
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
Many things. Having successfully moved everything in, we are now trying to fit everything in places that it can go.
Giggy.
And some part of that has been completely rearranging certain rooms. Because, there are subtle adjustments.
You had ideas and they didn't say the physics didn't work?
Well, when you place a bed in the middle of the room so that it can be approached from any side, you know, except the head of the bed, it breaks the room into three corridors.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then figuring out how to adjust the rest of the furniture around that, or how to move the bed into a corner or onto a side or something like that, so that it's not, so that you can unify that space and everything like that. It's it's a sliding block puzzle, and it's
right
kind of fun, but also very stressful. So we did that with one room. We're about to do that with another room, and I'm actually kind of excited for that to happen, because this being my room being very small, making the most economical use of the space is going to be a huge difference.
Yeah.
Sure.
So,
I mean, we've been living in this house for what, say, 8 years now? And we just this spring rearranged the bedroom again, and it world of difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had it one way for the longest time because we thought that was the best use of the space, and we finally went, no, we're going to try this, and holy shit, is it so much better. So, I mean, same bits of furniture.
Yep.
Slightly different arrangement.
I was very concerned that having taken the time to successfully bolt a monitor arm to the wall, that which is the screen that I'm talking to you on, that has my little camera on the top and everything, that I'm looking at to reference the two of you. Having gone through that pain, I was very concerned that I was going to have to undo that.
Right.
And but I committed myself to it. I, you know, made the little model of my apartment room, and I told myself, you know, if this really does work out best to move it, I'm going to have to fucking do that. But then, you know,
and I mean, ripping a, you know, thing out of the wall and moving it is annoying, but if it makes the room better in the long run, then
exactly,
it's worth it.
I think that's why I get so paranoid about making sure I know where things are going on the walls before I do anything. And then that's just where they live now. Like, I get really paranoid about that stuff.
Fair enough.
Because, yeah, I don't... Number one, the only reason, like, old walls last so long is that you don't do as much to them, right? But number two, it's such a pain in the ass. It just is.
Yeah. Well, and especially, like, more than just putting in a nail with a little hook for a picture frame or something like that. This is very similar to your sword conundrum. These are bolt mounted and anchored. You know, so that's that's a slightly more serious operation. The the arrangement that I picked out means that I do not have to move my desk, and I am real fucking thrilled.
Good.
And
I
think it should look really nice and feel really good, because again, unifying that space that's otherwise divvied up in all these weird places is really so much, so much better. So much better. So so there's all of that, and then manhandled some air conditioning to winterize the apartment, and just generally got the place sort of buttoned up and ready. I won a scarf.
You won a scarf?
I won a scarf. And I can show it to you. That
wow, we're just showing off glasses.
Yeah, it's a really bad night for
Oh my god, it's like Doctor Who.
It's
look at all those colors. It's long.
It's like that's got some length to it.
That, yeah, the poodle that is small stones.
Oh, is that a poodle? I thought it was.
Yeah.
I thought that was okay, because I see there's the unicorn and the dragon, and okay,
yes,
that's a poodle.
Between, yeah, not an elephant. I thought it was an elephant at first.
Yeah, no,
too.
I.
Yeah.
Because it's because the giraffe is further up there, so.
Yes,
makes
sense. Yeah.
Confused about the shark, but I'm still okay with it.
Good. Yeah. I, well, it was important. Yeah,
sure.
The the nature of it is that UK comedian Kai Humphries has been knitting this scarf for some time on his bi-weekly, as in, you know, twice weekly knitting stream in the mornings.
Bi-weekly?
Yes. And
project manager, I know the difference between semi and bi.
And then right, but just because of the project management.
Yeah.
One then, is a truck and one is a purchase.
Jenna had a date like that once.
I did, actually.
So the right. he decided that since he's moved to Twitch, he was going to reward people by holding a drawing for a scarf that he had knitted over the course of most of his time on Instagram, and just happened to pull my name, and I just happened to be awake and there for it. And so, yeah, I have a scarf, and it's lovely.
Very
and
cool.
Fun. Yeah.
Well done, Jim.
I get a +2 bonus to my funniness while wearing it. Notice that I am not wearing it now.
So he goes from negative numbers into positive numbers.
No, I was going to say it goes from negative numbers to slightly less negative numbers.
Right, slightly easier to manage negative
numbers. It depends on which system you're. If you're using 3.5, then yes. But if you're using 4, then it's...
Yeah, I have to calculate THACO and...
Yeah, you've got...
No.
Yeah.
Comedy THACO.
I'm the only one that's using the Shadowrunner.
We should take a break.
Anyway.
Just pull a D6s.
We're going to take a break.
Woo!
We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
For a fact.
All right, well, I turned you guys down. I'm still coming through, okay, right?
As well you should, yes.
I would turn me down, too.
For most questions, yeah.
And we're back. Right, I'm Salsa.
I haven't figured out me on this remote yet, but I'm Jenna.
Nice.
Hey, Salsa, you remember that time when we were recording and you couldn't hear me for 10 fucking minutes? Yes, I went back and timed it.
Yeah.
10 minutes.
I honestly had no idea. I'm so sorry. I thought I was so
and you wouldn't have known. Like, you didn't see me come back on.
Mm-mm.
So you wouldn't have known.
I
it's not your fault at all, but it was hilarious.
It's not my fault, but at the same time, it is something that past me would have absolutely done. And I don't feel good about it.
All is forgiven. Don't bring it up again. I will, though. Excellent. So anyway, hey, James, you had a topic that wasn't liberating Salsa and making him feel bad.
I mean, I'm all
to
for
be
that.
Fair, that's a good topic.
It is. It's great. I feel like that's a pretty usual topic for us, though.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, since I am moving into a teeny tiny space, and since, again, for the home listening audience, as you can see, I have arranged the shelves behind me into a display shelf rather than using it for storage, because we've got tons of that elsewhere. I'm interested in things that you have done to cleverly use awkward spaces, and maybe what your favorite room makeover or modification has been. I know what my answers are, and I'm willing to give examples.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, you can start.
For me, one of the things that I'm doing to save a lot of space, and speaking of having more storage, is to do an IKEA hack where I build a bed frame that is made out of IKEA shelves. It's made out of 1x4 IKEA Kallax cube storage. Mm-hmm. And it has an enormous amount of space in between the shelves as well, where I can stow all of my camping gear.
Nice.
And so that's incredibly useful.
I know that storage is always golden.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing the plastic tubs under the bed, and that's already helpful.
I also really appreciate the height that it gives the bed, because I don't have a box spring. And then the best room makeover that I've done was several apartments ago, where the person that I was with, we decided that what we really wanted in a two-bedroom was the bedroom to sleep in, but then also a library where we could smoke hookah, listen to records, sit in front of a fake fireplace, and play read. Board games.
Read.
Because we had 7 bookshelves and they were all full, we could keep the bookshelves in there. So we even agreed on what color the walls should be and that kind of stuff. So we painted them. They were sort of a purple red, brighter than burgundy, more red than burgundy, but you know, definitely like a jewel tone red. And then the ceiling was one of those disgusting popcorn ceilings. And, you know, what the fuck do you do about that?
Eat popcorn.
Well,
we
were looking at tin ceiling plates to put in over it, but that gets really expensive very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
At, like, you know, like 10 to 20 bucks per plate and not covering that much space. So what I ended up doing was buying this extremely stiff decorative fabric paper and then creasing it into large pyramids because it formed origami squares that were, I want to say, 2.5 feet by 2.5 feet, and then using furniture brads to pin those to the ceiling. So it looked like a tin ceiling.
Sure.
And then that plus the walls and a nice carpet, and then I built a fake fireplace out of an old vanity, and it was extremely swanky. I replaced the light fixture as well with like a pendant light fixture that had jewel tones instead of just plain white. It was very nice. There were lots of low lamps. And
it sounds very 70s swank is what that sounds like.
Which is exactly my jam.
That is so incredibly James, I can't even with that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've also had to cover a shitty ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
The ceiling that I covered was the kind that you can push up. The false ceiling.
Oh, sure. Yeah, drop ceiling.
Sitting on those?
Yeah.
So what I did is I got long bolts of fabric.
Oh, yeah.
This was in a story and a half, the half bedroom. So it's kind of attic-y, but it's not really an attic.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically turned my attic bedroom into a tent. My attic bedroom because it was already like it had that flat top and then it had the sides, so I could just kind of drape the fabric through the sides and all the rest of that. And I actually really liked the way that turned out for that bedroom.
Yeah.
And then I've also used tall bookshelves as like dividing walls to split up a space.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes like another room, but it's not quite.
Mm-hmm. The half wall situation.
Right. Yeah.
Sure.
And I did that when I had a very large basement room once and just needed to kind of separate that out.
Yeah, you and me both.
Yeah, buddy. but let's see. I'm trying to think of what I'm the most proud of.
Mm-hmm.
I am pretty happy with my bedroom in this house. Because that is an awkwardly shaped L kind of bedroom. And I've definitely used that space to maximum functionality. The bed itself is up against, like, the room is wide enough for, like, a bed to be on one end of it, like, and so it's surrounded by three walls. And I actually debated doing, like, a little canopy thing for it, but the room is just too small. I think that would have looked... It would have made everything more claustrophobic in there.
Yeah.
But it does make for a nice bed/lounging space in my room. And then I've got the dresser stuff up against one side, and it's all of those... build a dresser, the different boxes and shelves and things like that. It's not IKEA,
sure,
but it's the same kind of idea.
Modular, yeah.
Yeah, modular. Thank you. So I did that for my dressers, and then I also did a similar thing for my desk. And James purchased for me a piece of wood type thing that I could use for the top, but it's the same modular thing on either side. So instead of like the cement brick thing that people do for shelving or whatever, it was just the modular boxes, 15 by 15 by 15, right? So my desk isn't very deep, but I don't have space for it to be very deep. And then when working from home started to become a thing, I actually put up a very narrow shelf to hold a couple of monitors. And I put it at just the right height so that I'm looking slightly up at those monitors, but slightly down at my laptop monitor. So I've got all of the monitor situation happening. So, yeah, like, there's a lot of maximizing that space because it is that. And then the L shape kind of curves around. So, like, there's a space for the door, but it's not super deep. But I just got some 8-inch deep shelves to put on those walls. So I can still use the shelving, but they're very classy looking shelves.
Of course.
So, yeah. They look lovely and they're very functional.
Nice.
And I am actually pretty fucking proud of what I did to that room to make it a good functional bedroom space. I'm trying to think of what I may have done with it that was more clever. I know I've done clever things, I just can't remember any of them. Like, I have used a door off of a closet for a desk before. You know, I've done stuff like that. It wasn't quite as functional as I'd been hoping for. But, you know, it was clever.
Sure. Sure. So, it's an answer I've seen many times.
Here we go. So, I went to Hamline for a year before I dropped out to have a kid. And I was in the dorms, and I was supposed to have a roommate. And my roommate never showed up. So I got a double all to myself, and I was like, what the heck am I going to do with all of this extra furniture? There was a stacking masterpiece that happened with my furniture, where I was basically able to take this room and split it into more of a living room area and a study/bedroom area.
Nice.
And like, I stacked, so there were low shelves, and then I stacked a bed on top of that, and it was all made to be stackable like this. What I don't think I was supposed to do was to then put a bed on top of that. But I didn't know how else to get it out of the way, because I didn't need another bed in there.
And yeah, and the radish tree isn't going to come and take it away.
Right. So yeah, like I had a three-tier tower masterpiece going on with a double desk system happening and like all this other stuff. Like I was pretty pleased with the Tetrising job that I did in there. I had Tetrised enough to be able to take in an old couch. Wow. I had a mini fridge next to it. Yeah, it was pretty swank. And then I got a roommate about halfway through, and she was like, "Nah, this is cool. Let's just leave it." So, I was like, "How are you going to get onto the bed?" And she's like this. And then she just like scaled a bookshelf thing and then lifted herself into it. And I was like, "All right, mountain climber, the top bunk is yours." Like,
that is the most collegiate / summer camp thing I think I've ever heard.
I know, right?
In my life.
It was super good.
I remember, I believe I've spoken on this podcast about like the most terrible room I've ever looked at as a possible rental.
Mm.
Where it was this shady fucking teeny tiny house that was designed to be a party house. The entire first floor was essentially a series of shitty rooms with awful vomit carpet. And then all of the other rooms, all of the bedrooms were upstairs, this tiny, narrow, steep staircase. And then one of the three bedrooms was actually just a closet with a window at the far end. And the fire emergency exit was behind a fridge in the kitchen, which was also upstairs for some reason.
Just a
catastrophe waiting to happen, basically. Oh. Yeah, and he wanted a lot of money for that place. And the party basement below was a dirt floor with like cinder block walls, and it looked like the party basement was in fact a basement where parties were happening, but mostly amongst things with more than two legs. So
right, yeah, but like haunted basement.
I will see your dirt floor basement. The place I lived in, the first place I lived in, second place I lived in with my wife, we had roommates. It was a triplex.
Mm-hmm.
I think I remember this place. This is the place you guys tried to have.
This is the place we were abruptly evicted from when the landlord turns out our place was not habitable for many reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so the basement, you'd go down to the basement, down this really narrow, steep flight of steps, and down to a dirt floor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's already dark and cobwebby down there. And then in the back wall was a door. And it's already pretty creepy. So you go back there, and it's in shadows because the only light is near the stairs. So you go
it's
back
just a bare bulb on a cord.
It was a bare bulb on a cord near the stairs. You go to the back where it's all shadowy, and there's a door. And it's not like a door. It's one of those like where they took the paneling and just put a hinge on it.
Yeah.
And so it's already pseudo hidden. So you you open that, and it was this tiny little room in the back, which was already pretty creepy.
Uh-huh.
But then you look down, and there was a trap door in the floor.
Did you open it?
And we're
running
like,
so hard
there's
right now.
Definitely either a portal to hell or dead bodies in that trap door.
Yeah, but did you open it?
Oh, of course we did.
And you should never read that book.
Of course we opened it. Why do you think 2020 happened?
This explains much.
No, I mean, it turned out to be just like a sump pump or something like that, but it was just, like, we were walking down there just like, somebody needs to be with me when I open this thing.
Are we going to die? Are we going to die? We might die.
We might just die. It's entirely possible.
I had a somewhat similar experience, although possibly more frightening in a less creepy way. I had a place that I lived in with multiple people.
Murder
Old House. Kind of. No, this was the place that I lived in with like six other college students when I was on welfare.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to go through school on welfare. That was fun.
Yeah.
But the basement was kind of split into two parts. The first part was the part we were supposed to be in that had the washer and the dryer and everything else like that. The second part, if you opened the door, it was just a room. And it was dirt floor, cement, brick, wall, whatever. And it was, uh-huh. It was just a room. But there was a beam holding up the house in that room. And so you're thinking just like, you know, like a pillar from floor to ceiling. But you would be incorrect. What it was a table with a bunch of 2x4s kind of Jenga'd lied on top of each other up to a point where there was then a car jack.
Yes.
And a pillar from the car jack to one of the top support beams.
Load-bearing wall, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
So weird.
Yep, that was what was holding up my house.
Weird childhood story.
Oh God, how did that become a thing? Okay.
So, up on Madeline Island, my parents' good friends' parents, Grandpa and Grandma Cross, owned a place called Crosspatch, and there was a very old farmhouse. It was already more than 100 years old when I was little, so now it's like 200 or 300 years old, and that's how numbers work, I'm sure. It is, I think, pretty legitimately more than 200 years old, and it had been built on red clay. The first one burned down and sank into the swamp, but like very literally, the outside of the house was built mostly on rocks, but the middle was on clay. It was on red clay, and over 100 years had sunk very deeply. And so there was like a 15 to 20 degree tilt between the outer walls and the center where the chimney was. And so a task that my father and his friend Dave, Uncle Dave, and eventually I was included on this, would do was to go through the trap door next to the chimney and slither through the clay below the house to places where beams, 2x6 beams, had been stacked, and to place, they were like 6-ton, maybe they weren't 6-ton, maybe there were just so many 2-tons, but they were like the ones that say X number of tons.
Sure, yeah.
And have the handles, and were pressurized. And we would go and we would make sure, one, that jack was still in good functioning order, two, that it had not sunk in, which it always had. It had always pressed the wood into the muck,
yeah,
allowing the middle of the house to settle back down very slightly. And then we would release the jacks one at a time, put additional lumber onto them, and then replace the jack and restore the height of the middle of the house.
Yep.
One jack at a time. And we could watch the progress because we would see the line of sealant around the chimney rise to the roof, to the level of the roof, and then we would go up there and reseal it.
Oh my God.
Every year.
See, at least mine wasn't like an every year type of deal that I'm aware of.
We would have to go wash off in Lake Superior, and those clothes were dead forever. Whatever you were wearing was just done because it was permanently clay.
Right.
So you always did that in a three-piece suit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because he was never going to wear that three-piece suit anywhere else.
Three right? swimsuits.
That had peace signs on them.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. So there was that.
Okay.
But recently, that family was able to sell that farmhouse for an enormous amount of money. So I feel good about the effort that I put into keeping it from just falling inward and being consumed by bats and poop. So there's that.
All right.
Oh. I don't know. I feel like I don't have much to add at this moment, so...
Well, I mean, you've done a lot of just work in your current place.
Yeah, but I feel like that's just work. It's not really clever or creative.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just like, we put in new flooring.
Yeah. I will say, the proudest paint job I ever did was at an apartment I had. It's the apartment that was over by Mickey's Diner.
Yeah.
And I did kind of like a cream and beige wash.
Mm.
To give my walls kind of that older look to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did such a good job on antiquing the walls that when I went to move out, the place tried to ding me for messing up the walls, and I was like, "You guys, it's just paint. You just paint over it. That's just paint. I promise."
Oh.
So I was pretty proud of that paint job.
Mm-hmm.
It was at the same place I had a bedroom that I did kind of just these big swirly things on one of the walls that was like kind of far back to kind of bring it in a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun. So yeah, I was pretty pleased with my paint job in that particular apartment.
Sure.
Yeah. That was pretty fun.
Nice.
But I think for the most part, I really haven't lived in one place for more than a couple of years, so I don't usually do an awful lot to a place because I'm just going to be moving out later, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. I think actually this has been the longest I've been in a residence since Bill and I lived together on Garfield.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I get around, you guys.
Get around, I get around.
Get around.
Honestly, houses for me are kind of just a place to exist. Kind of like a car. Huh. A car is just kind of a way for me to get places. Like, as long as I can put the things that I find interesting in the house, then it's just a house, whatever. So I'm a lot less... Like, I'm not, like, Raiderly is all about the paint and all of the, you know, various things, and I'm just like, I just want a functional space.
Is it functional? You know? Yeah, I get that.
Salta, this is going to come as an enormous surprise to you, and I'm sure our listening audience. You tend to be very pragmatic and unemotional about your attachments to things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, it's about experiences, not stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I can have my experiences, then I'm good.
You know, I like experiencing things with stuff.
Yeah, but right now I'm trying to figure out how I can put a workshop in my basement, you know. That's that's, you know, but it's less about the space and more about being able to do the things, you know.
Right.
As long as it's functional, I don't care if it looks like shit, you know.
I do keep dreaming about having a house at some point, and I've been working towards it. And if this housing market bubble ever finally bursts, that'd be great.
Yeah.
but I keep just looking at houses on like Zillow and other places, and I'm like, oh, there's one place that's for sale right now that's a block away from Merlin's.
Oh,
and
no.
It's like 1,500 square feet laid out exactly how I want it, and I'm just like, oh, you are almost twice as much as you should cost right now. Son of a bitch.
But soon. Someday.
Someday. Yeah.
There's a place for Jenna.
I mean, when I have my own house, I am making a Star Trek room.
Fair.
My media room is going to be Star Trek themed. Mm. My outside is going to be Stargate themed. I want a Stargate fire pit.
Ah.
Yeah. And I want it to be, this is going to have to be a very expensive custom job of some sort. but I want it to happen to where if you turn the edges, it closes the iris of the Stargate, and then you have a table. And it's also like a lid for the fire pit, and then you turn it the other way, and the iris opens up, and you can do a fire pit. Mm-hmm. That's in my head, my dream of what I want for that.
That's pretty rad.
And I want outdoor chairs that mimic the control chairs in like Atlantis and like the ancients' control chairs. And I want outdoor lighting that looks like ZPMs. Yep.
Cool.
Well, all right.
Theme party is really what I want.
I was going to say, what you really want is a convergence party room.
But it's my house, yes.
But to live in, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
A convergence party room where you can't get dinged for spilling on the carpet is the...
Right.
Well, Jenna would ding you for spilling on the carpet, or where you, Jenna can fill on the carpet.
Where you don't have to argue with the hotel as to whether or not that stain was there before you got there.
Right.
Which it was, and I know that because we made that stain in your flight. that has actively happened.
Yes.
Where they didn't ding me that year, and then the next year they tried to ding me, and I was like, no, that was here beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Check the transcripts.
I made it, but it was like a year ago, so you can't do anything about it, fuckers. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't say that out loud. But yeah, I was like, no. When we did the earlier walkthrough, that stain was there, and I pointed it out, and they were like, oh yeah, no, I see it here on the sheet, blah, 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 whatever. I'm like, yeah. I feel bad, but I don't feel bad.
Check the metadata on our annotated photographs.
Yeah. Yeah, I want it. I want a house.
Mm-hmm.
Someday. Theme party.
Should we take a break?
I'm out of booze.
Oh, no. Yes, we absolutely need to take a break then. We'll be right back while Jenna refills her glass with whatever it is, unnamed drink. Get on
the unnamed tea drink of awesome.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
I do fashion and function, Salsa.
See that.
It doesn't seem like I care about function, but
because she hangs out with us.
That's why you're not going places, Jenna. That's why you're not going places.
Bitch and please.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
James.
I'm Jenna.
And it's time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
I know, right? It's very
exciting. Were we together that time?
No.
That's weird.
Not even close.
Not even close? It sounded together to me. It was weird.
Mm-hmm.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from Stefan.
Senpai?
Yay, Stefan!
I like him. The subject line for this is Ienium quinque questions. Yes, exactly.
No habla español.
Stefan says, I can't believe I never thought to translate Fast Five into other languages as the basis for a theme before.
Right.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, here are some questions inspired by ancient Rome.
Hmm. Oh, God. All right.
You must be NVTS nuts.
Question number one. Bath or Hadrian's Wall?
What is Hadrian's Wall?
Go for it, Salsa.
Okay, Hadrian's Wall is a... It's kind of like a mini Great Wall of China that runs between England and Scotland, basically. It was when Rome, when Rome had taken over England, they basically got up as far as the Picts, and the Picts were fucking crazy, and they went, okay, here's the fucking line.
Sure. Okay. Which would I rather see? And I think it's the baths. I want to see some fancy-ass Roman baths.
I have not seen Hadrian's Wall, and I really, really want to. But the Roman bathhouses were fucking feats of architecture. And
engineering, yeah.
Did I ever tell you my sister, my older sister, was an exchange student in Germany. And a person she knew... This didn't happen while she was living there, but a person she knew, they were digging a pool in their backyard and found a fucking Roman bathhouse.
No shit.
And is like their backyard is now a museum and live archaeological site. And it is amazing because it's not like a little... No, it's a full fucking bathhouse. And so you go in there and they're like... This is where this room was, and this is where this room was, and there's like arches and like pools and pipes and stuff like that. It's amazing. And just the way that they were able to say, you know, start using the water over here, the hot water, and then it would go into the tepidarium, and then it would go into, you know, the cold area and stuff like that, and how they would funnel water this way, and they would put the warm water under the floor so that the floors were warm while you were walking on them, and just it was amazing stuff. Whereas Hadrian's Wall is a wall.
I mean, it is it's a pretty substantial wall that goes from coast to coast and is wide enough for two chariots to be on top of them, if memory serves. But
In some places, it's just a little, you know, kind of like 3 foot high, a little nub. But yeah, it's. I mean, it. I again. No disparaging,
I would tend to agree.
No disparaging Hadrian's Wall. I want to see Hadrian's Wall, but a Roman baths. Holy shit.
Right. Hmm.
All right. Question number two. Pompeii or Rome?
Pompeii. Which wall was more devastating?
Mm-hmm.
Pompeii.
Yeah, definitely true.
I've been to Rome, but not to Pompeii. So Pompeii.
Mm-hmm.
Which one would I want to see in their heyday? I'd have to go with Rome, though, on that one. I'm going Pompeii. Just because I haven't been there.
I'm going to go with Pompeii. Because I really appreciated the Doctor Who episode that took place there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was pretty sweet. Mm-hmm.
I didn't have anything to do with Rome. it's a great joke because he totally did. Question number three.
Bing.
Bacchus or Vulcan?
Bacchus. You're talking to Jesus.
Like, don't get me wrong, Senpai. Vulcan's cool and all, but Bacchus.
Right.
Question number, or Jenna, do you?
Yeah, sure. I don't actually understand either of those. So
Bacchus is the god of partying and wine
and orgies. And, okay. And Vulcan is the forge blacksmith.
Yeah, and
well,
god of fire.
Boring. I want to party.
Yeah, but Vulcan made swords. So,
yo.
But
I do like swords.
Still,
shit.
Bacchus. All right. Question number 4. Ancient Latin or modern Italian?
Modern Italian is spoken mostly with the hands.
Ancient Latin for me, personally. For obvious reasons, I think.
Yeah. Hands?
So modern Italian? Jenna?
Yeah, I'm going to go modern Italian on this.
All right.
For no good reason.
Fair enough. Question number 5. Ding. Nero or Caligula?
Woof.
Jesus. Nero.
Yeah?
Because Nero was not good, but Caligula was Caligula.
Yeah? Caligula was hedonism bot, but not in the fun way.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, he got fucked up by his uncle, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Jeez. Yeah. Nero.
God, I'm just not well-versed enough. I feel like an imbecile. Caligula.
Okay. We open up this second email. Dun, 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 dun.
Stefan
says, "Hello again. Before we get to the meanings behind the options, I wanted to mention that it's weird to watch the preamble slowly push the first question out of view in the message preview in my drafts folder."
Okay.
Okay.
Whoa. Huh.
So, question number 1, Bath or Hadrian's Wall?
Mm-hmm.
Which Roman site in England would you prefer to visit for a weekend?
The Baths.
Bath.
Yeah. I think we called this one.
Hadrian's Wall I would visit for an hour.
Yeah.
I might walk along it a bit.
Yeah.
Drive along it and cruise in world, but no. Visit the baths.
Okay.
Baths.
Question number 2, Pompeii or Rome? Which Roman city in Italy would you prefer to visit for a weekend? Again, I've been to Rome, so Pompeii.
I mean, yeah. I like the story of Pompeii better, but I don't know which has more interest. I think maybe Rome. I feel like there's just more touristy shit to do.
Oh, Rome definitely has a shit ton to do. You cannot do all of Rome in a weekend. That's just... But having been there, I would definitely... Pompeii has amazing archaeological things that I would absolutely spend an entire weekend nerding out about.
Sure. I think I would go to Rome for the collection of Cagonier. To choose one to add to my mother's collection of she's got those Santone manger figures. I just want to add like a garish Super Mario Cagonier. It's the pooping figurine that you add to your manger.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. No, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
One of those.
and there are shops that sell specialty and especially nerd franchise Keganeer, like Darth Vader and Mario and all of that stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I am unsurprised that this is the thing that you want in your life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, question number 3, Bacchus or Vulcan. Who would you rather have as a patron god of your house? Bacchus, the god of wine, sensual pleasures, and truth, or Vulcan, god of the forge, fire, and blacksmiths?
I'm going to switch to Vulcan.
Really?
Yeah. Because as much as my values are similar to Bacchus, I would like my household to be more more Smith-like in nature.
This makes a certain amount of sense. I don't know. I feel like I'm fine with either. I do like hosting things an awful lot, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I might have to go Bacchus.
I'm sorry.
Tough but fair.
Bacchus for me, straight up.
Not even a question.
No. I mean, I like fire, but Bacchus. Question number 4, ancient Latin or modern Italian. Which language would you have liked to study in high school for your language requirement? Latin.
Latin.
I don't like studying languages. I know that's weird, but like...
I don't think that's weird.
I don't... It's not my thing. Like, I enjoyed learning some sign language stuff. And this is going to sound real weird for somebody who did programming, but I'm a consistent translator. Even when I've known programming languages really, really well, I'm still consistently translating and not thinking in other languages.
Yeah.
Except for that one time that I dreamt up code in my sleep and it worked.
Yep.
Like, that actually happened. Thanks, Ivy. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, like, aside from that, like, I don't, when I'm awake, I do not think in other languages, and I've never been able to actually get myself to think in other languages.
Same.
And I tried for a while with French or with sign language, and I just, after, like, 3 to 4 years, you're just like, well, yep. That's it. I'm done. I'm sure if I went to another place to study a language, I might be able to start to think in that language.
It definitely helps. It absolutely helps.
I always just thought that I was not getting things. You know what I mean?
Actually thinking in another language does require a bit of immersion.
Right.
Because if you're not immersed in that, even if you're bouncing back and forth, you're really not fully training your brain to think in that other language.
Right.
And, I mean, yes, I when I lived there, I spoke English maybe 30% of the time, but that was still enough of an immersion to have to think in another language.
Right.
And be able to do that. And as much as I love learning languages and I've studied a number of languages, I don't think it's weird to not enjoy that. Like, that's just preference.
I think the only way I would enjoy learning another language is if I was at that place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just don't enjoy studying it academically, theoretically.
Fair.
I found when I took Latin in college that because of it, I have a greater understanding of Spanish and Italian and Latin and you know, French. You know, it really does creep in.
Oh, I believe
that. Super weird.
Yeah, I know, right?
Are they somehow interrelated?
But the but honestly, the amount of creep, like,
You're such a romantic.
But I can't, if people are talking at me, I can't understand a fucking word, but I can read a surprising amount of French and Spanish and kind of get the gist. So, all right.
Yeah.
Question number 5. Nero or Caligula? Which famously awful Roman emperor does Trump's behavior in office resemble more?
Nero.
Caligula.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's very self-serving and hedonistic.
Yeah, but he's sticking a horse in Senate.
There's a horse in the hospital.
That's not the Senate, James.
No, I know.
Are you sure you know?
I'm well aware.
Okay.
John Mulaney had a whole thing about Trump getting elected, and he likened it to putting a horse in the hospital because they were tired of how the hospital was run, and then getting news about that. And so when Trump was hospitalized for Corona, someone tweeted at John Mulaney, "The horse is in the hospital," and I fucking lost it. But yeah, no, it's, I think, I still think, because Caligula at least did most of his damage, you know, in a very, you know, to a couple hundred or a couple thousand people, where Nero destroyed a civilization.
Yeah.
And that kind of seems like the brink we're teetering on, if not far past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, that's fair. I feel like both answers here are acceptable.
Mm.
So, anyway.
Can he be all of the evil?
Yeah.
Is that
I'm okay with it. All right. Stefan wraps us up by saying, "Hope that last question wasn't too much of a downer. Given the theme, it was a bit of a low-hanging fruit. I suppose it entirely depends on whether you read this in October or November."
Oh, God.
Love you all, and happy 500 episodes, Stefan.
Love you too, senpai.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, send 2 emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first one should include nothing but the choices, and the second one, repeat those choices, and then give us some context. Who has a shout-out?
I have...
Yes.
I'm fellow Boothie Sarah Barsness has decided to use up some of the sundry crafting items to make knitting stitch counters. Just like the little bits and bobs and charms and jewels and things like that. She has assembled them into stitch counters and is allowing people to procure them at the cost of donating to homeless shelters and encampments. And that's pretty fucking great.
That is super, super sweet.
I bought several sets and will be donating. And I just... That's a super fucking awesome way to be.
Agreed.
I guess I will go next. Yeah. I'm going to give my shout out to my wife.
Aww.
Because this coming weekend is our 11th anniversary.
Wow.
Jesus fuck.
And she has put up with me for 11 years plus. And that deserves a shout out if anything does.
Yes, it does.
Damn. I'm going to follow that, huh? I would like to give a shout out to my friend Angela Schwartz, who, when hearing that I could not find my old prom pictures, went through and located one of my old prom pictures.
Wow.
And she specifically was like, wait, no, I have that picture, because she knew exactly which one I was talking about. And went through and located it and scanned it and sent it to me. And my prom date, Lance. So, yeah, she went through all of that trouble to make sure that I had a copy of that prom picture. And I'm like, there's a part of me that's like, I'm sure it's somewhere in some album, but I looked through a whole bunch of stuff and couldn't locate it. Mm. So I was really sad about that. So, yeah, shout out to her for locating that and reminding me of how absolutely ridiculous that dress was. And how awesome at the same time. Because it was a big poofy prom dress. it was a pastel baby pink with a white lace overlay, and it was satin, and I was a fucking princess. Well, I was a sophomore that went to prom because I was asked by a junior. So I was like, when am I ever going to be able to wear a poofy pink prom dress? Oh, as a sophomore going to a junior prom, like, yes, this is the moment. The time is now. So I did it, and it was phenomenal. So yeah, that was lovely, and I'll post a picture of it in the Facebook comments, so that y'all can see it, because it's pretty fun. But yeah, shout out to Angela.
Nice.
All right. Who's got something to plug?
Holy shit, I do.
What?
I have an actual thing to plug, and I can't get to it. God damn it, this is annoying. Come on, phone, work with me here.
While Jenny's doing that, I'm going to quickly plug Curtains Unfurled. Hopefully I should have another episode in a week or so. I already told y'all this was not going to be a regular thing, so.
Now that you mention it, I'm going to go subscribe to it right now.
Do that. All right, Jenna. Has that been sufficient time?
That was enough to get me to the event page.
Perfect.
Yes. So, on Tuesday, October 27th, so not tomorrow, but, or today, depending, or yesterday, depending on when you're listening. I'm trying to go from a user perspective, and I don't know what the user is.
Well-oiled machine.
So anyway, Tuesday, October 27th, Strike Story Slam, presented by Strike Theater, the theme of which is Dress Up. Join in on this epic night of stories. The theme for the evening is dress up. Come hear stories of first formals, bridesmaids' dresses gone wrong, lost heels, learning to knot a tie, wedding attire, or anything else that required dressing up. This night is also an early celebration of our slam's host's birthday. So for those that don't know Allison Broering, she is a co-founder of Strike Theater. She is also the sweetest fucking person on the face of the planet. When my grandma died, she sent me a card. She sends me cards on my birthdays and, like, just randomly. And she only lives, like, less than a mile away from me. But she's constantly, like, sending me things. And she's such a nice, sweet, wonderful person. And it supports Strike Theater, which is a fantastic theater in the area. Fearless has done a few shows at Strike. And they're closed up. Like, all of this is happening on Zoom because that's what we have. And they still have to make payments. So as a backup, I know money is thin for a lot of people. Consider donating to Strike Theater. Or I believe if you go to their website, they now have merch. So maybe consider purchasing some merch. But definitely don't consider just do. Go to the Strike Story Slam Dress Up online event by going to the Strike Theater page at the appropriate time. I will post I'm just going to send this to Salsa now, since I have it.
Do it.
Cool. Yeah. And you guys are going to be, I'm not sure which of the 18 million dress-up stories I have that I'm going to share. But I'm excited to figure that out. And get that done. So
nice.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm doing a show, you guys.
Woo!
Yeah.
All right. Is there anything else? Anybody?
Vilification Tennis is doing. The Vill is coming from inside the house. It is our annual Spooktober event, and I will be involved. I'm really very excited to do another Vill show, and especially some of the stuff that they've got planned is just fucking great. So I'm looking forward to to seeing it all come to fruition as well. So tune in on Friday the 30th and enjoy some Halloween's entertainments.
Ooh.
All right. Is that it?
Other than that, bye bye, love you, bye bye, right. bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who has listened to this episode. Thank you to Stefan for the Fast Five.
And bye.
On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, Salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.